So we're looking at the churches in Revelation to see what Jesus has to say to us as a church today. And I say Jesus because it's Jesus who is speaking to the churches in Revelation. If you jump back just a little bit to chapter 1, we see the author, if you remember, the author is probably John the Apostle. We see the author say at verse 12, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me." And then he goes on a bit further. He says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death to Hades.'" Doesn't that sound like Jesus? And then he says to John, he says, "Write therefore what you've seen, what is now, and what will take place later." So these words that we're looking at are not just John the Apostle's words. They're not a good idea from him. They're not even a good idea from the rector. They're actually the words of Jesus. The word of God who came to earth to die for you and I. They are words to our church. Of course, last week we looked at Ephesus. And I've already mentioned it. We learned that actually we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to keep the worship of Jesus at the centre of what we do. It's brilliant to celebrate 25 years of a parish room that's enabled that. It's brilliant to celebrate the hundreds of years of this wonderful building. But we worship Jesus and we keep the main thing the main thing. And then, of course, we now go north. We go north 40 miles or so to Smyrna. Another prosperous city, another port city, a city that flourished and was wealthy, a place which had science and medicine and lots of learning around that. A place that was allies with Rome. Rome let it govern itself because it towed the line from Rome. So a self-governing city. A city that was a hotbed of idolatry, all sorts of pagan rituals and religions going on there. That the city where it was the centre of emperor worship, worshipping the Emperor of Rome, to the point of if you didn't worship him, you would be killed. Now that's a difficult one for Christians, isn't it? Because there were many that wouldn't say that Caesar was Lord, because they knew Jesus was Lord, not Caesar. And so there were many that lost their lives in this city. So there they are, a church in the midst of all that wealth, in the midst of all that idolatry and paganism going on, in the midst of a place that worships something other than the true God. They are a church where what they believe and what they do just rubs against the grain of society. Not unlike us, perhaps, at times. They're in a city that worships the emperor when they are a church that worships Jesus. They're in a city that says actually your worth as a person is about how much money you've got, your wealth, where you are in society. But they are a church that says your worth is in the fact that Jesus came to die for you and loves you beyond measure. They're a city that says do what you want, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, do what you want, make yourself happy. When they are a church that says, do what is right, do what is good. Do what Jesus would do if he was standing alongside you. They're a church alienated by the society that they are within. And they rub up against it. And then Jesus says this to them. They're going through hard times. He says this, I know your afflictions and your poverty. That word poverty doesn't really cut it. The translation of that word into English says poverty, and we think of whatever. But the particular word used there is extreme poverty. So I know your extreme afflictions and your extreme poverty. Jesus says that to them. But with all that they're doing that's right, with all that's going on, with the fact that they're standing for Jesus in the middle of a society that doesn't, Jesus sees them and says, I can see what's going on. And so we can expect Jesus to charge in on his white charger and rescue him, can't we? Because isn't that what we tell people? Come to Jesus and all will be okay. Come to Jesus and your health problems will be fine. Come to Jesus and your life will be wonderful. And yet Jesus says to them this. He says to them, the church who is one of the two churches in Revelation that doesn't get told they're doing things wrong. He says to them, you're doing things right. Do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. Not, don't be afraid of what you might suffer. Don't be afraid of what could go wrong. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. You see, the truth is, and I'm sorry if I've ever done this or given this impression, but Jesus never says, come to me and life will be hunky-dory. He never says, come to me and life will be sweetness and light. He's not that sort of Pollyanna God, is he? No, he says, come to me, follow me, and it's going to be hard. Come to me, follow me, try and do what you can to live in a way that honours God, and it will be difficult. But we don't put that on our Facebook posts, do we? We don't put that on our fridge magnets, on the fruit. We don't put that on our banners in church, do we? Jesus said, life will be hard. We don't do that, do we? And yet, life is hard at times, isn't it? I want to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of us are going through a hard time at the moment. As we celebrate 25 years of that room, and yet I don't know what's going on in your life. I'll tell you a story of where I place I used to work in, a chap I will call George. George gets called in to see the IT director. And the IT director says to George, we get a lot of complaints about the department not achieving their service level agreements. We're getting a lot of complaints from other heads of department that we aren't very cooperative. So I need you, George, to go to the board and to tell them that firstly, we are achieving our SLAs. Secondly, none of the other department heads are cooperating with us. Tell them that we are doing a good job. George is a Christian. And so he turns to the IT director and he says, but actually we're not achieving our SLAs, and actually we're not providing a good service to the company, and actually the other department heads are doing what they can to cooperate. And the IT director gets red in the face and says, I know, but you go and tell them what I've told you to tell them. And George says, I'm sorry, but I won't lie. That's living it out, isn't it? That's living your Christian faith in the world. Making the decision to honour God. Good on, George. Well done, George. We should cheer George on, don't we? The George is a contractor. And 2 months later, his contract's up for renewal. Who blocks the contract? The IT director blocks the renewal of George's contract. George did the right thing. He stood up for Jesus. And yet sometimes things don't always go the way that we want, do they? Our prayers aren't always answered, but sometimes we just don't know why. And that is, you know, much like Smyrna, that church, who's doing the right thing. But it happens in churches and it happens in individual lives, doesn't it? Sometimes we do the right thing and yet sometimes we still go through hard times. And then we hear these words from Jesus, do not be afraid. Somehow we've simply got to know that doing the right thing is right, is correct, is what we should do. So the problem is that we measure success sometimes in the way that the world measures success. If your church is doing well, it's full. It's packed, so there's a gun. That's a successful church, isn't it? That's doing the right thing. If your life is going well and you're doing well, then you are wealthy and you're well off and you don't struggle and there's no problems in life. Maybe if your church isn't full to the gunnels, maybe you're not doing what God wants. That's what the world says. Maybe if you're struggling financially, or you've got things going on in your life which don't seem to always go the way you want them to, maybe you don't deserve it. That's a success from the world's point of view, isn't it? That's not what Jesus says. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. And I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but a synagogue of Satan. He says, I know that you're doing the right thing, and you are rich in that. And I know people talk about you, but that's the devil's words. I know people look at you and judge you. That's the devil's way. That's what he says. He says, the one who's victorious will not be hurt by the second death. Carry on doing the right thing, he says. Carry on holding them. You will be rewarded. You will dance forever with Jesus, where there is no pain, where there is no hurt, where there is no disappointment. But right now, carry on, because you're doing the right thing. That's what Jesus says. Which is great, isn't it? It's great to hear that from a preacher on Sunday. But on Monday morning, of course, you wake up and the business isn't going quite as well as you want it to go, and that dear friend of yours is still ill. And the church isn't quite as packed to the gunnels as we would all like. So what happens then? How do we hold on? Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, we heard, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from you, from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It does seem a little trite to say, turn to Jesus. But it's all I've got. Because Jesus says, come to me. And I'd say, call it prayer if you have to. I mean, it's great to have our formal prayers up here sometimes when we read those words that we just read. But actually, I think sometimes we have misunderstood what prayer is. I think God would much rather many times just have a conversation with us as we walk along the street. He is your Father. He loves you beyond measure. He knows the pain you're going through at times. And he says, come and speak to me. You might think this a little blasphemous, but actually I think God, if you're angry, I think God's quite able to cope with the fact you're angry. A couple of years ago, I was quite angry when my dad died. Come on, God, I pray for him. What the heck's going on? But he's able to cope with that, isn't he? He knows our hearts. He knows that we love him. And he's able to cope with a little bit of anger. We don't want to be there. We don't want to stay there in that place. But he can cope. And if we need to tell him the truth, then we need to tell him the truth. Speak to him in conversation. That's what I would say. If you're going through the lows right now, speak to him in conversation. Because I think if we are individuals who can go to God and be known by God, if we are individuals that God knows we are on the right track, if we are individuals who can find peace in that, then we will become a church, just like Smyrna, who can say we are known by God. We'll become a church just like Smyrna, in the highs and the lows, that can say we find peace in the fact that we are loved by Jesus. And isn't that what we want? That we would find peace in Jesus, both in the highs and celebrations, but also in the times that we find hard.